great nation, no matter what anybody says. Across this nation, in churches who love the Lord Jesus Christ, in churches that preach the word, there's something special going on. And it's going to go on here too this morning. There's been a problem develop in the church, and Tim had no idea he'd be dealing with it this morning in our Sunday school lesson. I'm amazed at how the Holy Spirit brings these things together. And that's how we know that it is Him, it's not us. I didn't plan on what Tim was going to say this morning, and yet he did. He addressed some things. It was God does not make mistakes. His timing is so perfect for everything He does. We think He's late most of the time, don't we? We think, oh God, you should have done this yesterday or a week ago. But no, God gets it down perfectly. His timing is perfect because He does everything perfectly. There's been something going on in this nation for many, many years now. There has been an element of pride growing and growing in the hearts of the people of this land. Connie and I saw it overseas when we lived in Turkey back in the 60s. There were actually times that I was ashamed to be called an American because of the way some of our military men conducted themselves. They disgraced the country. There are many passages of Scripture that give us an encouragement and make promises to us. And this call to fall is one of them. It's fine. And we should go to God in prayer as often as we can. But if we go to God in prayer with pride in our hearts, God will not hear our prayer. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I fear that for years, as a people, as a nation, we've been going to God, we've been asking Him for certain things, certain benefits for our nation, certain changes to take place. And we don't seem to see answers. Today we're going to deal with that. Today we're going to deal with it. Turn, if you will, to the book of Genesis, first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 17. There was a man, a friend of God. His name was Abraham. In chapter 17, his name has not been changed yet by God because he hasn't done some of the things he needed to do. But later on, God gives him the name Abraham. He's Abram in this chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Let me read that. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Today is supposed to be a very special day for Christians all over this nation. This day has been designated as a call to fall, and that's a play on words. A call from God for us as Abraham did, to fall on our faces. Connie may have mentioned it to some of you, and some of you may have heard it. There was I don't remember even who it was. It was addressing the fact that a friend of his said that while he was shaving, he saw Jesus. And the pastor asked him, he said, "Did you go on shaving?" The guy said, "Yes." He said, "Well, then you didn't see Jesus." Because when you and I come into the presence of Jesus Christ, we're going to do a face plant. And I hope it's not in a gravel parking lot. We're going to fall on our faces. Because he is Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is God. And he's created all of this. And if we're going to get help as a nation, if we're going to get help as a people, we must approach him, God, and Jesus. They're one and the same. Different personalities, but one and the same. We must approach him in humility. Without the intervention of God, this nation is going to perish. It can do nothing but. Look at the nation of the part of the country is Sodom and Gomorrah. The immorality got so bad that two angels went there to rescue Lot and his family, and the people of that city wanted to attack them immorally. And as a result of that, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about where we are this very morning. We are in a nation that has murdered over 60 million of its own people. Over 60 million. You realize that's 20% of our population. And now they're trying to promote sodomy and all these other perverted sins. How can God not take vengeance on us? We're at a point, people, and today is a very important day. You probably didn't realize how important a day it was going to be for all of us. Everyone gathered here this morning. But we're going to do the same thing this morning that other churches are doing from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast. May not all happen at the same time, but it's going to happen. And partway through this message, we're going to stop. We're going to fall to our knees, asking God to intervene. As a nation and as a people, I don't know how many more opportunities we have. But I think we're running out of opportunities. I think God is getting to a point. I believe we're getting close to the end. We're getting to a point where God is going to say, "Okay, you've had enough time. Pull the plug." You're in Genesis now. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You go through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay? 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Most of you have probably got this verse memorized. You'd be able to repeat it with me, but this is a very important verse. And this, I believe, is what the future of this nation hinges on. That's why we're going to do what we're going to do this today. If my people, now this is addressed to us, we are God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, okay, we're called after the name of Jesus Christ, we're called Christians, shall humble themselves, and that's where to fall. We need to humble ourselves. We are a proud nation. But it says, if shall humble themselves and pray, and we're going to do that too, and seek my face, and that's what we'll be doing when we pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then, here's the promise of God to all of us who are gathered here this morning, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 7 calls upon us. It is a call to fall. We want to fall on our faces in prayer. Prayer for our nation, prayer for the leaders within our nation, prayers for the Congress, prayers for the first responders, prayers for our military. Because all of these folks have got a part in what is going on here. We want to fall in humility. I'd have you notice that the very first qualification that God requires from his people is that they humble themselves. Now, it's so easy for us to be proud. But none of us, there's no one sitting here that has any reason to be proud. Oh, look what I made of myself. No, God made you. Well, look what I've accomplished. No, God is the one who permitted you to accomplish, and he is the one who accomplished it for you. Not one of us sitting here could say we're, what would be the expression, self-made? No. We're not. We're God-made. And we need to remember that. And if we do remember that, then we'll realize that we have no reason to be proud. It has been so wonderful this morning to have Jane make a noise over here in this corner. It has been. But God is the one who put her there. He is. Answer to our prayers. And so we must realize we have. She has talents. But God gave those to her. Some of you have the ability to sing. God gave you that ability. Oh, we can refine them a little bit, but God's the one who ultimately gives us everything we have and are. It was because of sin that Jesus had to become flesh. Because there was no other way for you and I to come into a relationship with a holy Heavenly Father, with sin in our life and sin in our hearts. So Jesus had to become sin for us. Now, this call to fall is involving a lot of churches, folks. We're probably talking about a few thousand across the face of the land this morning. Because I know of at least 250 leaders of churches, people who you would know if I named their names, Tony Perkins, Reverend Pierre Barnum, Franklin Graham, others, have called and set this day aside for this one purpose, that we might truly humble ourselves before a holy God, realizing we are nothing and realizing we deserve as a nation the wrath of God to be poured out upon us. Unless we come this morning in humility, God will not hear our prayers. Now, there's a lot of verses in Scripture that deal with pride, and I think it would be appropriate for us to look a few of them. And we'll do this in an effort to rid our hearts of pride, to understand how God sees pride. I think all of us know. But let's just look at some reminders as to what God thinks about it. In the book of Proverbs, pride is one of the seven cardinal sins. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. An abomination to God, our pride. Folks, an abomination is not a good thing. Proverbs 16:18. We had that this morning in Sunday school. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord, he shall be made fat. Proverbs 29:1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And folks, we're getting close to that point. And finally, Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. These verses are just a small sampling from the Word of God as to how God thinks about pride, how God wants to deal with pride. Pride is among the signs of the last days. I don't know if you realize this. Paul, in his address to Timothy, he talked about pride. He mentioned pride. And so, if you will, look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Now we're going to get into the New Testament. We looked at Old Testament. Pride was a problem then. Pride is still a problem. It's always going to be a problem. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Folks, I believe we're there. I believe we are in the last days. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You can't name abortion as anything but unnatural affection on the part of a woman who goes for an abortion to the child she's carrying. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Verse 4. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. As Christians this morning, we need to turn away from those kind of people. But when you turn away from something, you've always got to turn to something. If there's not something to turn to, turning away accomplishes nothing. It just leaves you out there in a void, limbo. So we've got to have something we're turning to. And this morning, we're going to turn to God. To one who wants to be our Heavenly Father. One who loves us, loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. If this letter to 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, is not a descriptive of what's taking place in this country right now, I don't know what is. God is holy, and His holiness restrains anyone who's proud from approaching to Him. That's why they have chosen the title of what we need to do as a call to fall. Jesus dealt with it in Matthew 23:12, when He said, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Folks, there is a promise that we need to claim. We need to see God heal our land. We need to see God heal our own hearts. And He will, if we will do what He says we need to do. First of all, primary in everything or whatever we do, it is a matter of humility. James 4:10 says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." God's people have been praying, but God has not been able to answer because God's people have pride in their hearts. And that includes us. We have a certain element of pride. We're going to pause right here in this message. I want us to do something. I want us, some of you cannot, because you're physically impaired, that you cannot do this. But if you can this morning, and the Lord has enabled you to, we're going to stop for about 5 or 6 minutes of silent prayer. Would you consider getting on your knees as a first step toward showing God the humility He wants from each one of us? Now, some of you can't do that. I know you can't, Amy. You can in your heart, and that's all He's asking. He's asking that in our hearts, we get on our knees. I've got bad knees, but I found a trick. I've got a fleece, and I can kneel on this, and it doesn't hurt my knees. But if you can, right this moment, let's go to our knees. And if you cannot, in your heart, you can go to your knees. And we'll spend about 5 or 6 minutes in silent prayer, and then I will close our prayer out. Praying for our nation and for the leaders of our nation. Father, we don't know the answer. All we know is that we can't fix it. Neither can Washington. But we know who can. We know that you have given us a promise that if we will humble ourselves, Father, and pray as we do now, and turn from our wicked ways, Father, may we set the example for those around us. Show us through the power of your Holy Spirit any wickedness in our lives. And Father, give us the courage and the strength to turn from them, that we might claim the promise that you will heal our land. May this be the beginning of a genuine Holy Spirit revival across this land in the hearts of your people. And Father, may Jesus Christ be glorified by what is done. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Wouldn't it be something if a real Holy Spirit revival began right here? All across our land, people have been on their knees, and they will be on their knees today. And you can continue to do this during the week and in the days to come, asking God to heal our land. Now, I don't know if he can do it. Not with all the wickedness that's been going on and all the bad decisions, court decisions that have been made. I don't see any solution. But is anything too hard for God? No. Is anything impossible with God? No. But there is a way that he can. He can take us out of here. And we opened with a hymn this morning. And I know Patsy, it's one of her favorite hymns. I'll fly away. Hope to see you in the clouds. That may be our only choice. I would like to share with you some facts about pride and revival. I'm on page 3 of 5 pages. We're not going to make it, Jimmy. But there's some things I do want to share with you. Years ago, and it was when our son David was a student at Bob Jones University, and he was in the film and TV program. And we had lunch with Dr. and Dr. Stenholm. And David wasn't present, and I asked Dr. Stenholm, the husband, who was the head of the preacher boys at Bob Jones University back then, when was the last time he had seen revival in this country? Now, he was a man who was at that point probably 50 years old, at least 60, maybe 60, more like 60. He said, "Ken, I've never seen revival." 60 years. That was in 1967 or so. There's not been revival since then. back in the beginning of the 19th century, that'd be the 1800s, from about 1810 to 1820, they had the first Great Awakening when a revival spread across this country. The Holy Spirit worked in hearts. He touched hearts. People got right with God. They got excited about God. God began to stir the population, and people together were able to accomplish things. Bars were closed. Just so many good things. People would pay their debts. If they'd stolen something, they'd return it or they'd make it good. That was the first Great Awakening, 1810 to 1820. Then in the late 1800s, a couple of men in London, England, were hungry for revival. So they got on their knees during their lunch hour. Two different businesses. They'd go to one day pray at one man's business, the next day at the next man's business. Other business people heard about it. And so they began to join them for lunch, not to eat, but to pray. And in 1895, the second Great Awakening began in London, England, under the ministry of D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. It spread from there all over Europe and even spread to over here. Now, some people say that we were part of the second Great Awakening. Others say maybe we were the third Great Awakening, because around 1910 to 1913, we had a Great Awakening here in this country. There has not been anything since. No massive stirring. Oh, occasionally some individual would experience the stirring of the Holy Spirit in them, and they would do what they could, but there was no widespread revival. And folks, if we're going to see our country survive, there's going to have to be a revival among God's people. It's not going to take place in the world. They're not ready for it. Their hearts are not ready, but ours are. And so this is going to require something on your and my parts. Humility. Genuine, real humility. And the only way that's going to happen, it won't happen standing up. It'll have to happen on our knees. There was a time after I'd had knee surgery that I couldn't really kneel. And then one day I stole that fleece from my wife. And I found out with that I couldn't heal. I recommend you get a fleece. Not like was put out by Gideon, but you get a fleece. Plant your knees on. That we humble ourselves before a holy God. When we come into the presence of God, it should be with humility. And the opening verse this morning that we had was Genesis 7:3, and Abram, later on to be called Abraham, fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, I'd like to have God speak to each one of us. And I am sure he has something to say to each one of us if we'll simply listen. But we can't listen in pride. Oh, look at me. God's talking to me. No. God's talking to me? I would ask that as you go through this week, that this will be a special week of prayer for you. Just between you and God. Not between me and you, not between me and anybody, but between you and God. And it may even involve some tears. Tears of remorse. Tears of repentance. Tonight we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And I'll just give you a challenge about what's going to be involved in that. Because it's time to close, and we're going to do this. But tonight, as we look at the book of Hebrews dealing with faith, we have been told by God, through His Word, through several different individuals, James, others, Paul, the just shall walk by faith. And sometimes we, you and I, feel like we are walking by faith. And I want to tell you something tonight. I've spent the last 2 weeks examining my heart. Because as I worked on these messages, the toes I was stepping on were my own. And I realized I'm not the man that I thought I was. I had pride, still do. But if, how much do we walk by faith? Now, if I told you it was less than 25% of your life, would you understand? Less than 25%. You come back tonight. And I'll show you why. People, we need to humble ourselves. And we need to walk by faith, not by sight. Father, thank you for giving us this time together this morning. I pray that as our brothers and sisters call out across this land, that you will be able to respond. That you will be able to send healing. Father, that we will once again experience revival in our hearts. And that people might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ because the Christians are on fire again. Father, send us a fire that we need. Send us the awakening that we need. And Father, may your will be done in everything we do. And we will praise you because you are the only one who can accomplish these things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.